story. But enough is it. Ring the bell.
The past, and of a world gone by, speak again the immortal tale.
The horror. The horror.
Stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the terrors of the unknown. We tell you this frankly, though if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative ways, here is you, humbly but sincerely. Turn off your radio now.
This is The Horror. Welcome back. Thanks for joining me for our midweek horror break. And take care of a request this time. John wrote in wanted to hear a version of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. We have one from Favorite Story, a series that aired from the mid to late 1940s. This adaptation of the classic aired sometime in 1947. Here's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
This is Ronald Coleman, inviting you to radio's most dramatic half hour, Favorite Story. This week's favorite story is someone you must have seen many times. He has the rather engaging habit of casting himself as a bit player in every motion picture he directs. So you've caught glimpses of him, that paunchy gentleman with the bright little eyes who appears on the screen for a few fleeting seconds. But you probably never guessed that he was one of our great motion picture directors. People here in Hollywood call him Hitch. He's the master of suspense thrillers, Mr. Alfred Hitchcock. We were chatting with him recently in the commissary at David O. Selznick's studios, and he suggested a favorite story for this series, one that's right in the Hitchcock tradition, Robert Louis Stevenson's hair-raising adventure of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. So, if your heart is strong and your schizophrenia well under control, prepare yourself for a treat in thrills, as William Conrad stars in both the title roles of Alfred Hitchcock's favorite story, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Absurd! Impossible!
I've never heard such a ridiculous premise.
If what you suggest is true, then I've wasted a lifetime in the study of law.
I assure you, Utterson, it is not
gentlemen,
true.
Gentlemen, I will illustrate my point.
Very well, Dr. Jekyll.
I beg your patience until I've finished. In an hour or so, Dr. Lanyon, your head will rest on the whiteness of a linen pillow. Utterson, your eyes will be closed to the night outside, and a curtain will be descended, cutting off your real self from your dreams. Now, behind that curtain, Dr. Lanyon, have you not entertained thoughts of such incredible evil that you shuddered to think of them by daylight? Utterson, your profession as lawyer brings you into constant touch with crime and wickedness. Yet, have you not committed the most revolting atrocities in the caverns of your sleeping brain? Can you deny, gentlemen, that you are, each of you, two separate personalities? One, respectable, admired, morally good. The other, bitter, hating, and hated. A creature intent on one purpose only, the pursuit of evil. And what would you say, Doctor, if I told you that I was working on a process for separating man's waking self from his dreams? A chemical process whereby I can isolate the human character into its two component parts, good and evil. What would you say to that, huh? What would you say to that?
That would be the point, Dr. Jekyll. The point?
Scientific research. And the pleasure of proving to you two gentlemen that you don't know A from Z.
Oh, well, drink up, Jekyll. I must be leaving soon.
All right. A toast.
Good. A toast to the three of us.
Yes, to friendship.
No, gentlemen. A toast to good and evil. That you, Poole?
Yes, sir. The chemist has brought your order.
Good, good. Bring it in. Right here, Poole.
Here we are, sir. There. Will that be all?
Yes, yes. And remember, I don't want to be disturbed under any circumstances. I must be alone this entire evening.
Yes, sir.
Now we shall try it. June 22nd. Today I have procured the final ingredients necessary to complete my experiment, which should prove beyond a doubt that man possesses two separate and distinct natures, the good and the evil. My experience today will bear out my theory of dual personality, or destroy me. For in drinking my compound, I know full well that I risk death. The elements are compounded. The resulting ebullition is now complete. I shall continue to record this experiment in my journal as long as I am capable. Three swallows of this and I will know. These aren't my hands. This is not my face. This is not my voice.
Here, driver, this is the place.
I'm not coming in with you, Utterson. Somehow I can't escape the feeling that I'm not wanted in the home of Dr. Jekyll.
You and Jekyll still quarreling?
As a matter of fact, I haven't seen Jekyll since the night the three of us dined. That was more than 3 months ago.
I've seen him. I tell you, Lanyon, he's changed.
Do you think Jekyll might have come across something?
You doctors are all alike, Lanyon.
Perhaps when you see Jekyll tonight, he may have an explanation for what he's been doing these past months.
Perhaps. Well, good night, Lanyon. I'll give your regards to Jekyll.
Yes, do that. We may have our differences, but Jekyll and I are still good friends. All right, driver. Oh, good evening, Poole.
Mr. Utterson, good evening, sir. Come in, come in.
Is the doctor in?
No, sir, he's not. He's been gone all evening. Was he expecting you?
No, I just thought I'd drop by. When do you expect him in?
Well, that's hard to say, sir. I don't know when to expect him anymore, if you'll pardon my saying so, sir.
What do you mean, Poole?
Well, sir, it's just since Mr. Hyde's been here.
Hyde? I've heard something about this Edward Hyde. What does he look like, Poole?
Well, sir, I can't rightly say.
You mean you haven't seen him, and yet he stays here?
Oh, yes, sir. I've seen him all right. He doesn't stay here, though. He just comes and goes. It's just that he's difficult to describe. He's so...
Evil? Is that the word?
Yes, Mr. Utterson, sir, that's it. Oh, it's not only his hideous face and his hairy hands, but there is something definitely evil about him. All evil.
Now, I've heard several other people describe him in the same words. I should like to meet this Mr. Hyde.
He was here tonight. Went out a little while ago. Dr. Jekyll has given him the freedom of the house and instructed us to obey him.
He had dinner with Dr. Jekyll?
Oh, dear no, sir. He never dines here. Indeed, we see very little of him on this side of the house. But he and Dr. Jekyll spend a great deal of time together in the laboratory.
Well, I'll be going along, Poole. Tell Dr. Jekyll I called.
Yes, sir.
Good night, Mr. Utterson.
Good night, Poole. I beg your pardon, my good man.
Huh?
Were you going into Dr. Jekyll's house?
What of it?
You're Mr. Hyde.
That's my name. What do you want?
Well, I'm an old friend of Dr. Jekyll's, Mr. Utterson of Gaunt Street. You must have heard my name.
No, never heard of you. How do you know me?
By description.
Whose description?
We have common friends.
Common friends? Who are they?
Jekyll, for instance.
You lie.
Oh, come now, Mr. Hyde.
What do you want?
I'm Dr. Jekyll's attorney.
Then tend to your legal work, Utterson. Get out of my way.
Now, see here, I...
Out of my way, Utterson, before I club you. Understand, crop you.
Gentlemen, it's good to have the three of us together again. Very good. Utterson, you should stop by more often.
Well, I've been by several times lately, but you seem to be out a great deal.
That's certainly true enough, Jekyll. I don't think I've seen you twice in the past 3 months.
Oh, Dr. Lanyon, forgive me. I've been quite busy lately. I really hadn't realized how much time my experiments are taking. And I assure you, I don't want my experiments to cost me two of my oldest and dearest friends.
Well, the dinner was certainly delightful, Jekyll, but I must be running along.
You're not letting this briefcase of mine frighten you away, are you?
Oh, when a lawyer brings his briefcase, we doctors haven't got a chance.
Sorry you're leaving so soon, Lanyon. It's been good talking with you again, even if we don't agree medically.
Yes, for once we didn't argue. Well, good night, gentlemen.
And drop by again, Lanyon. You might find some of my latest experiments most interesting.
Well, my heart may be a little too weak for them, eh, Jekyll? Good night.
I've been wanting to speak to you, Jekyll, about this will of yours. You know I don't approve.
Yes, certainly, I know that. You've told me so.
I'd like to go over several of the clauses with you.
All right, if it'll make you happier.
Oh, no, now this one, for example. In the event of the decease of Henry Jekyll, all possessions are to pass into the hands of his friend and benefactor, Edward Hyde. In the event of his disappearance or unexplained absence for any period exceeding 3 calendar months, the said Edward Hyde shall receive all possessions of Henry Jekyll without burden or obligation.
A man is free to make what will he wishes.
I've been learning something about your friend, Mr. Hyde. As your lawyer, I must tell you what I've heard is abominable.
You do not understand my position. It's a very strange one. A very strange one. It is one of those affairs that cannot be mended by talking.
Jekyll, you know me. I'm a man to be trusted, an old friend. Make a clean breast of this in confidence, and I'm certain I can get you out of it. If this fellow Hyde is trying to blackmail you...
My good Utterson, this is all very kind of you, but it isn't so bad as you make it. The moment I choose, I can be rid of Mr. Hyde. And I give you my word on that. The moment I choose, Mr. Hyde can be out of my life forever. But thank you for your concern.
Very well, Jekyll. I've no doubt you're perfectly right.
Don't worry, friend. I shall always be able to take care of Edward Hyde.
Will that be all, Dr. Jekyll?
Oh, yes, Poole, that will be all. I'm going to step over to my laboratory before retiring. You needn't wait up for me.
Very good, sir.
October 3rd. My experiments are now conclusive. I have succeeded in completely segregating the human soul into its two major components, good and evil. And I have been able to separate and rejoin at will by the simple expedient of drinking my formula. As Edward Hyde, I am alive and real, yet I do not even exist. As Edward Hyde, my face is different, thick, dusky, and the teeth protrude in the simian fashion. The exact opposite of Henry Jekyll's fairly formed face. The hands of Edward Hyde are lean, corded, knuckly, with a swarthy growth of hair, while those of Jekyll are large, white, smooth. In summing up the differences between the two men, I would... No. No, I'm Chico. I drank nothing. No. No, no. I'm Chico. Chico! Chico! I drank nothing. I drank nothing. My experiment. It's out of control.
We're ready with Act Two of Alfred Hitchcock's favorite story, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. The doctor's infamous experiment with split personalities has burst out of his control. Every moment he stands at the mercy of his other self, Edward Hyde. And it is Edward Hyde that we meet now on a wet London street not long before midnight.
Watch where you're going.
Oh, I beg your pardon, sir. I'm afraid my eyesight isn't as good as it could be.
No, no, it isn't as good as it could be. Not one part of what it could be.
Well, now look here. I'm dreadfully sorry I bumped into you, but there's certainly been no harm done.
That's the trouble with you old fossils. An apology settles everything. Well, it doesn't with me, sir.
Look here. Put down that cane.
I'll teach you what happens when anybody gets in the way of Edward Hyde.
Put down your cane.
I'll put down my cane. I'll put it down on you, my very good sir.
Oh.
Good sir.
Yes, sir. I works for them as a crew. I was sitting at my window looking down at the street. I like to do that of an evening. Well, sir, I noticed the damper step out of its carriage and start across this way. And then this other gentleman, evil looking he was, is hurrying down the way. And he and Sir Danvers collide. Sir Danvers doffs his hat and apologizes, like the perfect gentleman he was. But this other gentleman will have none of it, mind you. He raises his stick and he beats Sir Danvers. Beats him to death, he does. It was horrible, horrible.
Did you get a good look at this madman? Would you know him if you saw him again?
Know him? I'd know him anywhere. It was that awful Mr. Hyde everyone's been talking about. That's who it was. Mr. Hyde.
What is it, Poole?
Mr. Utterson is waiting to see you, Dr. Jekyll.
Tell him I'm not in. I don't feel...
I'm sorry, sir. I've already told him you were here. He seemed most anxious to see you.
Very well, show him in.
Yes, sir. Dr. Jekyll will see you now.
Hello, Jekyll. Sorry to rush in on you like this. I've just come from the coroner's office. They called me to identify the body of Sir Danvers. Of course, you've heard.
Yes, yes, I've heard about it.
It was a terrible thing, Jekyll. Terrible thing. But then you don't fully understand what I mean.
What do you mean?
There was a witness.
Witness?
Sir Danvers' maid. She saw it all. She identified the murderer as your friend, Edward Hyde.
Hyde?
Yes. That's why I've come to see you. The will you made out in Edward Hyde's favor must be revoked immediately. You've got to break all relations with Mr. Hyde. If not, I'm afraid you'll be deeply involved in this crime.
They'll never find Hyde, Utterson.
I'm afraid you're mistaken there, my friend. They will find him. And when they do, the gallows itself will be too good for him. He's a madman.
I saw Hyde last night. He told me he was leaving London. I don't believe I'll be involved in this, Utterson.
Perhaps not. However, at the coroner's office, I picked this up. It's the stick with which Carew was beaten to death.
Mine?
Yes, Jekyll. Your cane. I gave it to you a long time ago. I recognize the head on
it. See here, Utterson. If you're deliberately trying to involve me in this thing, you're quite off the track. What Hyde does is his business.
Perhaps the police will make it your business.
That's enough, Utterson. I assure you, Mr. Hyde will never be heard from again.
Yes, I'm Dr. Langdon. You're from Dr. Jekyll, I presume?
Yes, yes, I'm from Dr. Jekyll. You got his letter, didn't you?
I received his letter, although I must confess parts of it were a little vague.
You did what Jekyll asked.
Of course. Come inside, man.
Where are the chemicals? You've got them.
Come, sir, I shall show you. You forget I've not made your acquaintance. You're
a friend of Dr. Jekyll's, a friend. Now the chemicals, please.
Sir, compose yourself. These are Jekyll's chemicals.
Never mind that. Have you a graduated glass?
My instructions were to have these delivered to Jekyll. I don't see what liberty you have to use them.
Ah, you're quite inquisitive, Lanyon. Quite inquisitive. Give me the glass.
I really don't see
that. Then you shall soon see, very soon. You shall see everything. Curiosity is a costly thing, Lanyon. You shall find out just how costly.
What are you doing, man? You don't intend to drink that. You're mad.
A toast, Doctor. A toast to Edward Hyde.
Hyde? You're Edward Hyde.
And now... what happens now is under the seal of our profession.
Our profession?
Lanyon, you who denied the virtue of transcendental medicine, watch.
What? What's happened to you?
You who have derided your superiors, Lanyon. Look, look.
My Lord, man, what's happening to you? You're not Hyde.
Well, Dr. Lanyon. Yes.
Impossible.
Lanyon. Lanyon.
Glad you've arrived, Mr. Utterson. I've been waiting for hours.
Gould, what is it, man? What brings you to my home? Is the doctor ill?
Mr. Utterson, something is wrong. Ever since Dr. Lanyon died last week,
Now, take your time and tell me what you want.
You know the doctor's way, sir, and how he shuts himself up. Well, he's shut up in the laboratory, and... well, sir, I'm afraid I haven't seen him since Dr. Lanyon's funeral.
What do you mean, Gould? What is it you're afraid of?
I've been afraid ever since... since the night I last saw him.
Last saw him?
Yes, sir. I was coming from the garden on my way to the laboratory with some food. Dr. Jekyll has made me leave all his meals by the laboratory door. I noticed Dr. Jekyll at the far end of the room. When he saw me, he ran. But I caught a glimpse of him. He was wearing a mask.
A mask? That's incredible. Why?
I don't know, Mr. Utterson. He refuses to see anyone. He won't come out. Worst of all,
Go on.
I hear footsteps behind the door. They aren't Dr. Jekyll's footsteps. And when he calls to me, it isn't Dr. Jekyll's voice.
Did you recognize that voice?
Well, yes, sir. I think it sounds like the voice of Mr. Hyde.
Are you sure of this, Poole?
Yes, sir. But there's one more thing.
Yes?
He's been sending me out almost every day for chemicals. He writes them on a sheet of paper and passes it under the door. I've been to every wholesale chemist in London. And every time I return with them, he says they aren't the right ones, and I have to search some more. I've never brought back the kind he wants, because he yells at me each day to bring more from another chemist.
Have you got any of those notes?
Yes, sir, right here.
Dr. Jekyll's writing all right, unquestionably.
Yes, sir. I thought so, too.
Tell me more about the night you saw Jekyll with the mask. How did he look?
Not like himself, sir. He seemed smaller, hunched over. His face was dark, hairy looking. But then I only had a quick glance.
Perhaps Lanyon wasn't mad when he died at that.
What was that, sir?
Never mind, Poole. Come. We are going to Dr. Jekyll's laboratory.
January 15th. I have lost control completely now. Even double potions have no effect. I dare not leave the laboratory for fear I will suddenly become Edward Hyde. If I'm caught again outside my laboratory as Hyde, I shall surely be killed. It is only a matter of time before I become Hyde again and remain as Hyde. I have had London ransacked for my original chemicals only to find they aren't the same. I am now convinced that my first supply was impure and that it was that unknown impurity which made the formula act. I shall never know the true formula. This will be my last entry, for my experiment must be concluded as a failure. There remains but one way in which I can control Hyde. I have no alternative. The change occurs almost without event now. I'm Jekyll one instant. Hyde the next. This is the last time Henry Jekyll can think his own thoughts or see his own face. As I lay down this pen and end my medical journal,
I bring the life. Life of Henry Jekyll to an end. Henry Jekyll is gone.
Jekyll, let us in.
Jekyll. Jekyll is gone.
Let us in. Open this door.
Jekyll is gone. And everything here goes with him. Everything. Everything. His work. His notes. Everything goes with him. And this poison for Edward Hyde.
Dr. Jekyll! We'll have to break down the door.
It is Dr. Jekyll. He's dead.
Yes, Poole. It is Dr. Jekyll, after all. I'm afraid he's poisoned himself.
But why? Why?
Perhaps I'm wrong, Poole. Perhaps Dr. Jekyll didn't kill himself. Perhaps he was murdered by Edward Hyde.
Robert Louis Stevenson wrote it. Mr. Alfred Hitchcock picked it for you as his favorite story, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I'd like to offer my warmest congratulations to our hard-working star, William Conrad, who gave such superb characterizations to both the title roles. And we hope you've all enjoyed our journey into fear on this week's favorite story. Next week, one of the most unusual stories ever written, Hamiso's weird and fantastic tale, The Man Who Sold His Shadow to the Devil. It's the favorite story choice of one of the great poets of our century, Mr. Robert Frost. It's something really off the beaten track, one of those rare yarns that we're always proud to discover for you on Favorite Story. We hope you'll be listening.
That's our horror for today, but remember, come back Saturday for another one. We'll be hearing from The Witch's Tale this weekend. And remember to visit RelicRadio.com for more old-time radio, more from Favorite Story, the horror, all types of radio drama, and links to all our social media stuff, Shoutcast stream, and our donate button if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Certainly appreciate it if you're able to help out. Thank you very much to those who have, and thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again Saturday with another episode of The Horror.